That way, there we go. So I was on, and I got up, and I turned it off. So that's the way it works. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, thank you to the little one in the back who said good morning to me. Who was that? Raise your hand. Thank you, Ellis. I love you. I want you to know that. I'm glad you're here, buddy. Thank you. Jordan, I'm glad you're here as well. I see that smiling face in the back. No mask can hide that. So a couple things I want to share with you guys before I jump into teaching. First of all is thank you. Thank you. It's a regathering. Our crew who's worked so hard to walk us through all the emotions of regathering. Thank you to Chelsea. Thank you to Matt. Thank you to Holly. Thank you to Danielle. Thank you to Emily for going through that whole process and just walking it through. And then the other thing I want to say is, super honest, thank you for your courage. Thank you for the courage it took this morning to put on something other than sweatpants and to leave your home. So well done. And for those of you who are online, that's okay too. I want to be super real on that side. Like, we're getting ready to jump into a new sermon series on shame. We're going to be talking about shame and how shame attacks us. And even in this process of when we were in the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, shame is still attacking. And so that shame is attacking us whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. That shame is attacking us on whether you'll go to a restaurant or not go to a restaurant. And one of the things that we've tried to do as your leadership team is we're saying we're going to wear masks because the CDC says if anybody is unvaccinated, we want you to wear a mask. But what we're doing here in Real Church currently is we don't want you to feel like you're the only one wearing a mask. So whether we're vaccinated or we're not vaccinated, we're going to wear a mask to honor each other and to love each other. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Anybody feel like somewhere in Scripture it says honor each other and love each other? I think it says it several hundred thousand times. And so one of the things as a church we're trying to do is honor each other in that process. The next thing I want to encourage you on is to build courage. So how do you build courage? Let me help you out. You build courage by doing tiny, courageous things. You build courage by taking your next step in building that ability to handle what you're doing next. Now, for me, my big courage moment came on a Southwest flight as I flew from Midway to Denver. We landed at Denver Airport. We had an hour layover to get onto our next flight and fly to Ontario. And as we landed and we got off the plane, I left and I walked into Denver International Airport with 500 of my new closest friends all up on me, completely bumping shoulders. And I was like, okay, there is no social distancing. We're in this together. And I just turned and looked at my daughter and said, I guess we're ripping the Band-Aid off. I guess this is the new thing that we're at and what we're doing. And so one of the things I want you guys to know is sometimes courage is thrown at you. You didn't get to prepare for it. It wasn't something that you could plan and you could schedule and you could organize and you could do all the things. It was just something that you had to deal with. Now, what we're trying to do here inside of Real Church is not throw you in the deep end of the pool. We want to help you in that process as you grow through it and you develop, okay? A couple other things for parents. Parents, listen to me. I love your kids. I'm not going to be embarrassed by your kids. I'm not going to be hurt by your kids. I'm totally okay with your kids being kids. So as parents, take down the perfectionism of your kids have to meet a certain standard because the rest of us are judging you. We're not doing that because we're not judging Madge because we're watching Andrea. So what I want you guys to think about that is we're not doing that, okay? I communicated that 7 years ago inside a Real Church. Does anybody remember that moment where I communicated that? And two precious children decided, well, that means I get to do whatever I want because Pastor Nathan said. That's not what I'm communicating. What I'm communicating is, children, if you know how to sit in a chair because you've been to public school, you know how to do it. Set the example, do that. Adults, set the example. Does that make sense? Let's work on it together. And then the other thing is I'm going to preach shorter so you don't have to spend too much time. So don't stress out. No 50-minute sermons. Okay, next piece is just the advertisement for next week. Next week, we're starting a sermon series on news stories. This week, I want you to start thinking about what are some of the old stories you keep telling yourself? What are some of the old stories that you tell yourself that you beat yourself up with? What are the old stories that you tell yourself that you limit yourself? What are the old stories that you tell yourself about mistakes that you made and it is constantly shaming you and putting you down today? So I want you to start coming together next week with some stuff to let go of. Next week, we're going to do Lord's Supper together. And I'm going to hand you Lord's Supper to go. So you guys don't feel like you have to all take off your masks and we break all the rules in one moment. But what I want you guys to know is that the Lord's Supper is a way to feel no more shame and to reset and start again. And so I want you guys next Sunday when you come in together, and if you're at home and you're watching online, get your Lord's Supper together too. We're pressing reset next week. And the truth is, Sunday should always be a reset. Every single Sunday should be a reset. Every single sunrise should be a reset. And so I'm just trying to train you guys in that. And then one other thing, I'm going to throw somebody underneath the bus. There's a good chance that there might be a Siobhan Huerta signing and teaching. So if anybody excited about that, you can text Messenger and tell her, girl, bring it. We're supporting you. We love you. If she's in California and she just woke up, her eyes are really wide open right now after me saying that. But it's not my fault. It's Chelsea's. So it is.
Love you. You.
Yeah, you can own that one. All right. Let's jump into Acts 28 really quick. Acts 28 has some really cool stories. I'm not going to cover them all. I could talk about where Paul gets shipwrecked and he goes onto an island. He gets bit by a snake that should kill him because it's venomous. And all the people on the island look at him and think, oh, you're dead. And he doesn't die because God Almighty has a plan and a purpose for Paul, and it wasn't stopping on that island. I could preach on that, but I'm not. I could preach on the other things that go on within the political system, and I'm not. You guys can read Acts 28, and if you're really interested in the snake story, you can go back online, and you can listen to me teach it a long time ago, where just a funny statement of, really? You guys can hear that in the podcast. But let's jump into Acts 28 at the very end. I want to go to verses 28 to 31, and this is where I want to go. What I want to teach you guys is that there's a wonderful missions organization. It's called Acts 29. Acts 29's mindset is that Acts didn't end. And I want you to write in your notes, Acts didn't end. Notice the book of Acts doesn't close with salutations. Notice the book of Acts doesn't close with the end. The book of Acts is saying the power of God through the Holy Spirit is continuing on to the ends of the earth. And Acts 29 is you and me. Acts 29 is us. Acts 29 is any other Christian who came for the last 2,000 years post-Acts being written. Acts 29 is still alive. And we read in the scriptures, it says this in verse 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. Let's pause right there. Anybody in here who's not of Jewish descent, anybody in here who isn't of the tribe of Judah and Israel or one of the 12 tribes sitting inside underneath a wonderful family, you fall into the Gentile category. That's me. Praise God Almighty that the gospel is available to everyone. Amen. And then listen to the proclamation that's written right in scripture. He says that salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. They will What I want to encourage you guys is to share the gospel. Share about God. People are sharing about mass, not mass. People are sharing about vaccine, not vaccine. People are sharing about Republican, Democrat. People are sharing about, I remember as a kid growing up, there were things you didn't talk about. You didn't talk about health and you didn't talk about politics and you didn't talk about religion. Well, pretty much the world is talking about health and politics. How about we talk about religion? How about we bring in the actual antidote? How about we bring in the solution? How about we share in love, not in judgment? Let's just share the gospel and let's communicate it. But more importantly, let's not just use our mouth, let's use our bodies. How about our bodies match what our words are saying? If we're saying that Christians should be loving and our bodies are not loving, we've got to change some things. Verse 30 talks about Paul. It says he lived there for 2 whole years at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Wow, what a powerful passage. That even in being encumbered, even in being imprisoned, even with being on house arrest, even awaiting a court trial in Rome, Paul still is being about his Father's business. Anybody got a lot on your schedule? Anybody got a lot of things that you got to deal with, that you got to handle, that you got to get done? Anybody have laundry that needs to get done today? Anybody got a meal that needs to be cooked? And what you're saying is, you know, God, I just don't have time for you because I got all this on my list and I got all this on my schedule. And God says the Apostle Paul pulled it off you can do it. So I want you to stop giving yourself this lie in this story that other things should take higher priority than the king. So sit back and think about it. What are things that you let get in front of you and the king? When I was a kid growing up, my parents said we didn't go out on Saturday night. It was closed down on Saturday night because Sunday was number one, and we never let it get in the way. I didn't get to play baseball on Sunday. I didn't get to do tons of things on Sunday. I didn't get to go to parties. I didn't get to do all these things because my God was going to be honored. I remember all my friends. All my friends were wondering, how come your family's so blessed? How come God takes care of your family? One time, I actually let it out of my mouth. I said, that's because we serve God and you don't. Two thoughts when it comes to Acts 28, verses 28 through 31. Somebody say he's bringing it. Marlon, give me an amen. Somebody say he's bringing it already. Amen. Two thoughts that I want to do and a couple things underneath it. Thought number one, salvation is available to all. Somebody get excited about that. Somebody get excited that that grandmother, that uncle, that brother, that sister, that neighbor, that friend that you're praying for, salvation is available to them. It's not closed. It's not a limited supply. It's not going to run out like toilet paper did a year and a half ago. It's available to those who are willing to listen and change their lives. Salvation is available to all. Salvation is available to all regardless of race. Salvation is regardless to all because of, regardless of sex, age, finances, economics, whether they change their gender, whether they change their pronouns, I don't care. Salvation is available to all. Somebody say all. Amen. All means leaves out what? Nothing. Salvation is available to all. Share salvation. Let Jesus change their lives. Don't take them to the hospital, set their broken leg, give them a blood transfusion, completely stitch up their body, and then make sure they're in 4 weeks of healing and then bring them into the hospital and present to them as, look, they're healed. We did a good job. Let them go to the hospital and let the hospital do the work. Let them get to God. Second thought, welcome those who come to you. Now, it's going to be really hard for us. It's been hard for us because relationally, we're a little bit messed up now. Welcome those who come to you. Well, okay, what does that look like to be welcoming in this circumstance? Well, that's based on your context. What community you're in, where you at, what city you're in, whether you're in a suburb situation or whether you're in an urban situation, whether you're in a high rise, whether you're on a street, all those things change. So there's not one specific answer that you need to think of, but you personally can welcome people where you're at. What does that look like when God brings someone to you? Verse 30 says, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness without hindrance. What does it mean to welcome people who come to you? Well, let me help you guys out. In America, welcoming people is really around a drink, something to drink, something refreshing. Welcoming people is about food. Welcoming people is about letting them use your restroom. Welcoming people is about bringing them into your living room or into your backyard. But what's interesting is for Paul, welcoming them had everything to do about proclaiming the kingdom of God. In other words, the way that Paul was welcoming people was he was welcoming them into the kingdom. You're welcome to come in and meet my God. You're welcome to come in and meet my king. God was absolutely on Paul's mind, and that's what Paul was about. Now, there's nothing wrong with a nice, refreshing drink. I would love one if I come to your house. There's nothing wrong with being able to use the restroom. That's a really nice thing of you. But here's the thing. If somebody comes into your home, has a drink, and is able to be in your house, uses your restroom, is in your living room, and you don't give them the love of God, what did you give them? So let's not forget the priority. The priority is to love on them with God. Now, don't Jesus juke them. Don't Jesus juke them. Christians make me upset when they try to lead people to Christ based on a shirt slogan. Don't do it. Someone says, hey, can you come out on Sunday? Can you be here in this place? Man, I'm sorry. Sunday's when I gather together with my spiritual family. It is so important to me because it gives me life, it gives me encouragement, it gives me energy, and it's so refreshing to be around people who speak the truth and live the truth. I can't miss that time. So I'm sorry, I'm not available on Sunday. They're like, there's people in the city like that? Yeah. you should come. Would you? I'll pick you up. You want to go with me? Now, that's big for us. Let me bring this up. Text messages that I've been getting this week. Hey, can we bring guests? 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 As I prayed over it with God and Task Force, welcome to me, spending time with God, I heard God say, first Sunday you can give to your family. Next Sunday you can open it up. So take a deep breath. We got to trust you, God. God, you keep pushing us. You keep making us trust you. Anybody feel like he keeps making you trust him? Anybody ready to not trust him anymore and just have a week off? Yeah, that's sinful, okay? But good luck with that. I hear that. Welcome those who come to you. So when guests come in, what is our job? Welcome them. Now, it's weird in COVID. How do we welcome this morning? I didn't know how to welcome you guys. Didn't know who to hug, who not to hug. So there's going to be a lot of questions. We'll get through it. Amen? Amen. Proclaim the kingdom to those. Hello, sweetheart. The second thing I'd like you guys to do is teach about Jesus. Teach about Jesus. Now, you guys are like, oh my gosh, how do I teach about Jesus? I can't do it like Pastor Nathan. Don't teach like me. That's not your job. Let me help you guys out with what it looks like for you to teach about Jesus. Tell your friend who Jesus is to you and why Jesus is important, and then be done. That's it. That's it. Just tell him, man, I love Jesus. Jesus has changed my life. Jesus has changed my family. Jesus has absolutely cared for me and protected me. Share who Christ is. Very simple. You don't have to go into the Roman road. You don't have to go into big theology. You don't have to grab a big, huge tract. You don't have to call Pastor Mike the closer to bring him in. You don't have to do that. Just share Jesus. And the other thing is, invite people to be around Jesus. How do you invite people? You and Jesus. You invite them by being with you at a barbecue with all your Christian friends. You invite them by coming to church. You invite them by hanging out with you, doing things that are God-honoring. It's easy. And then invite them to come. Now, how do we teach about Jesus? The first one is boldly. Are you nervous about sharing about Jesus? You ever worry about that? In this city, we have flags boldly proclaiming massive amounts of things constantly. Share about Jesus. Be bold. Be bold. Share. One of the things that I shared with one of my friends where they got a little bit, you know, feisty with me, they're like, well, you can't share about Christ. And I said, you know what I love about you is you're tolerant. I love that you're tolerant. I love that you're so tolerant of so many things that you would be tolerant of me and Jesus. That's what I love about you. Prophesying into their character, you are loving. Isn't that cool? Steal it. You don't have to give me any notes or not. Just steal that for me. Man, you're tolerant. I love that about you. And you know what's funny? I had one friend who goes, I'm not really tolerant. And I was like, that's really cool that you've been honest with me. That's all I said. That's been really cool that you're honest with me. And they were like, oh, I never said that. Like, I'm going to lose my Chicago card. Next idea. Next idea. Teach about Jesus without hindrance. What's hindering you from sharing about Christ? What's hindering you from coming and hanging out with Jesus? A couple years ago, I was discipling a young man and who's older than me. And I just wanted to say that so I'd feel young. And I was talking to him, I said, let me tell you something. If you want to grow close to Christ, let me give you a hint. Don't miss more than two Sundays of church a year. Don't miss more than two Sundays of church a year. And this person looked at me and they were like, what are you talking about? I was, well, let's talk about your marriage. How good is it for you to be away from your wife? If you're away from your wife for extended periods of time, does that build your marriage? No. So when you're away from the kingdom of God, you're away from the spiritual family, you're away from what God is doing, is that good for your spiritual life? No. Can you take vacation? Yes. But how much should you miss? Be wise. Be wise. So what's hindering you? What's holding you back? Your schedule? What's holding your back? You want your child to achieve and they just need to be able to do this. And if they don't do this thing on this date, then somehow the rest of their life is going to be messed up. Who are you putting your hope in? God, who's in control of your kid's life, or whatever that little event is. I remember watching kids grow up playing baseball and doing sports and dance and all these other things because their goal was to make the Olympics or their goal was to play professional. Let me help you out. The percentages of making it are very, very, very small. And I've watched those families who put that idol up gain what they were looking for. Don't win that trophy. I'll say that nicely. Okay, here's our application. You guys have done great. Kiddos, you're doing great. Ellis, Sam, still awake. Yep, still awake. You're doing awesome. Jack, good job, brother. Proud of you. Here we go. Holly, you're doing well too. Here's our application, okay? Live a life of spiritual growth. Live a life of spiritual growth. Now, let me sneak it in. Let me get ready for it. Here it comes. It's like Jaws. Most of you are trying to live a life of safety. When you set up your goal of living a life of safety, you are not living a life of spiritual growth. Just let that sink in. But I want to be safe. I've got to have enough in retirement. I've got to have enough finances. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. I've got to have this medical. I have to have. Because we've only had these institutions now the last 50 years in the world, and somehow the world has functioned without them forever. Let God be in charge of you, and let him take you on the journey he wants to take you on. Amen? And if that is to have courage to gather with your church family, have courage to do that. If that's the courage to share your faith and be rejected, have the courage to share your faith and be rejected. Andy, if I was a salesman and I worked for you, how many times would you want me to make calls to get rejected for the percentage of someone to actually say yes? What's the percentage? Okay, just until it happens. So if I get 15 no's, I still make the next ask to get the 16th. You just keep going. It's funny, we'll do stuff in business, but when it comes to the Spirit of God, we're one and done. I looked at somebody and thought about sharing Jesus and I was scared. I'm never doing it again. Let's be the body of Christ, amen? Amen? Let's encourage each other today. So here's how we can encourage each other today. When we close and I get done, and I just want to let you guys know, it's really funny. The first time I was on Southwest a year and a half ago, they did all these social distancing things, and you boarded the plane social distance. You got in your seat social distance. But you know when we landed, social distancing went out the window? Everybody stood up and jumped on each other. And I was kind of like, I guess the rules don't matter. So as we close out this service, let me encourage you guys. Please give each other space. Okay, there are some of you guys who are going to be social butterflies, and you want to be up in everybody's business. Be careful how close you get. Those of you who this has been enough and you've had your fill and you're done, there's an exit in the back. You can totally walk outside. Currently, it looks a little sunny and it doesn't look like it's raining, so you can stand on the grass. I want to let you guys know I am so glad you guys are here. If you have missed me and you'd like a hug, I am totally ready for a hug. I will have my mask on and I will hug anybody who would like a hug. So you can come and form a line up here in the front. Stay 3 feet apart and I will hug you as you come by. If you'd like to take photos with me, no. Okay? If you guys are online with us today, I'm glad you guys are here. Thank you so much for jumping in and being a part of this. I pray the gospel of Jesus Christ warms your heart just as much as it warms ours. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
If you've been blessed by being here, just turn to someone and say, boy, it's good to be in the house of God. Just turn and share it. God bless you guys. We will see you next Sunday when we talk about shame and we start dealing with it and giving new stories so that we can have power in God's name. God bless you guys. Bye.
Your kindness pulls me,
hey, yeah, yeah,
to a place I've never been.